Bill, I understand you're a retired school teacher, and like many people, when you retire, you get even more interesting.
Yeah, I am. I taught elementary school for a little over 25 years, teaching first, second, third, and the longest amount of time I taught one class was fifth grade.
Where did you teach?
I taught in Portage, Michigan. At two different schools. I taught at Whaley Elementary up until they closed those doors. And then I moved over to 12th Street for the remainder.
When did retirement happen?
I have to think about that. It was around 2014.
Oh, okay. So a few years.
Yeah.
And tell us about all these wonderful things that you're doing. I'm figuring it probably started with photography.
It did. So I've always been interested in taking pictures. I've always enjoyed taking pictures. But I never really got into true photography until after I retired. And I had the time. I had the time to go out and not be in a hurry. And I started noticing things I had never noticed in places I've been 100 times. So it slowed me down, and it gave me the ability to actually take pictures of things instead of just snapping a shot and seeing what I got. I've always taken pictures with a camera that has settings, so I can change the aperture and the f-stops and things like that.
Ooh, those old-fashioned cameras.
Yeah, so that's fun. So I always enjoyed that, especially, you know, back with film.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of pictures I threw out because they just weren't correct. And so now with digital, I still do the same thing. But there's also that immediate feedback where it's like, okay, that didn't work. I have to change the aperture, the film speed. Well, I still call it film speed.
I hear you.
Yeah. So, and that just kind of revived the passion that I always enjoyed about it, but to a higher standard. And so that's what got me started.
It does look like there some of them are clean photos, and others it looks like you've had some fun manipulating them with colors and what looks like eventually turned into T-shirt designs.
Yes, exactly.
So how does that part come in?
Well, that's even more recent. That happened actually during this pandemic. I haven't been able to go out really and take pictures for the last 9 months. I usually travel the United States. I've been to Iceland. The idea was to do some more traveling around the world this last year, and it just wasn't able to happen. So I have these thousands of pictures. I decided to play with them. So that's kind of how that started, and I kind of like the results on some of them. So, and other people did too. So I made some T-shirts, and so you might see some people wearing my T-shirts around.
And then the photography seems to, some of it, morph into books, especially children's books. So tell us about that, and tell us about the books.
Yeah, so I have 8 books right now. I'm working on a couple others. But my very first book, I had spent some time out in the Tetons during the wintertime. And the bison and the moose and the elk and the... It was just amazing. I absolutely loved it. And I took so many pictures. So I'm sitting there looking at, okay, I've got 1,000 pictures. What am I going to do with all these? At that time, my grandkids were quite young, and I thought, I'll make them a book. So I wrote a short little poem, put some pictures to it, made it into a book, gave it to my grandkids. Other people said, hey, that's really cool. Can I get one? And that's kind of how it started. It wasn't necessarily intentional. It was kind of by accident. And then I did one on Yellowstone, Sleeping Bear. And my latest ones are, I've been using an illustrator, Dan Smith.
I was going to ask you to tell us about your illustrator, because not all of these are photography. This very newest one you have illustrated. So tell us a little about Dan Smith.
So Dan Smith is a longtime friend of mine who has also illustrated some other books. I think he's a fabulous artist. And we've just been friends a long time. I had asked him if he would illustrate my book, The Field Trip, which is based on field trips that I took my fifth grade students on to a couple of schools around the Kalamazoo Portage area. One was Brighton, one was Woods Edge. And I didn't want to use photographs of all these students. So I thought, let's do an illustration. And I just I was just so thrilled about the way it turned out. When I wrote the second book, Day at the Pond, I asked Dan and he agreed. And so they're both about elementary students that are going on these field trips. The field trip is about a boy going to a school for special needs kids, not excited about it at all. And of course, the experience changes his attitude and mind. The second book, A Day at the Pond, is about, again, a young boy. He's in fifth grade. This time they're going to go on a field trip around a pond. And he has this vivid imagination that his parents tell him, you need to concentrate more. And his teacher tells him he's just such a creative young man. And it's kind of a, you know, we all, as teachers, those teachers that are listening, we all have these students that have a very difficult time concentrating. And, you know, what is their mind doing? And this is my interpretation of what Billy, the main character of the story's mind, is doing when he doesn't seem to be paying attention, but he's creating in his mind fatally.
And these books are available in Kalamazoo, I assume?
They are. They're all available at the Kazoo Books.
Okay.
And they're also available on my website. So, and right now, because of the pandemic, I have not been able to get my book out into other bookstores except Kazoo Books. But it'll be out there.
And that's not the only thing that you've been doing. I get this image that you take a lot of walks along Lake Michigan, and that turned into another art form. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is another pandemic creation.
So pretty recent, only over the last year?
Yeah, with the mobiles, yeah.
Ah.
I just started this. I love walking the beach collecting stilts. My grandfather and my mother, we used to love collecting potassium stilts. And that's just continued. So I have collected stones. I have a bucket of stones in my basement. And for one reason or another, I got interested in mobiles about 9 months ago and started playing around in my basement. And I'm just having a lot of fun with it. So I've created different types of mobiles. Some are hang, some sit on stands, some look like solar systems. And it's just been my basement. Again, because I haven't been able to get out and sell them, my basement is filled with mobiles. There are some at Amy's Ames, downtown Kalamazoo, but besides that, they're all in my basement.
There's stones and beach glass as well.
Yeah, beach glass as well. Yep.
Yeah.
Some people love the stones, some people love the beach glass, so I try to make some for both people.
Sounds like the pandemic is, dare I say, kind of good for you.
Well, in those ways, it absolutely has. It's given me time to reconsider the things that I love to do. Since I can't get out and travel and do photography, you know, what else can I do while I'm in my house? And it has. I'm in the middle of writing a couple more books, and I'm making mobiles, and it's been, and I'm still walking the beach.
Things that you can do, plenty of social distancing, and get creative with that time alone. So your website is called Sandy Boots Designs. I love that name, too. Tell us about how the name came to be.
Yeah, so my son and I were talking about, okay, real flying sucker photography with books and mobiles just doesn't really fit anymore. So my son said, how about Sandy Boots? Because when I was on the beach 3 days ago up north in Michigan, and this time of year I wear boots. So he came up with that originally, but it also is part of the Sandy Boots because a lot of my pictures are from hiking in the mountains where I wear boots. So it kind of combines the sand from the shores of Lake Michigan to the boots that I wear when I mountain climb. So it was a kind of a perfect name.
And you mentioned that you're working on more books. Can you give us a hint about what your current projects are about?
Well, one of them, I'm working on one, and I've been working on it for over a year. I just haven't figured out how we're going to finish it up. But it's on a Petoskey stone, and it kind of takes the life of Petoskey stone from 350 million years ago.
Wonderful.
When the coral was developing to, it's now sitting on a young person's dresser because he or she picked it up at the beach. And kind of, you know, how did it get there? And, you know, so it's a story being told through the eyes of the eyes, right, of the Petoskey Stone. So that's one of them.
Yeah.
The other one is I love national parks. So I've done Sleeping Bear, I've done Tetons, and I've done Yellowstone. So the next one that I'm working on is Devil's Tower. So that's the other one.
You said you've taught for 25 years. That's a lot of experience. Although what's happening with teaching right now, a lot of virtual teaching too going on. I wonder if you have any kind of advice for teachers.
Unfortunately, for right now during the pandemic, it's such an unusual time in our history that I see how different districts are doing it and they're trying to figure it out. They didn't have a lot of time to put this all together. And I think from what I see, most of them are doing quite a good job. I work with my grandkids right now. They come to my house for virtual school.
Oh, okay.
So I am working with them. They both go to Kalamazoo Public Schools. And I think the school has really put together quite a nice program. Where they're pretty busy for a good share of the day now. And, you know, I've seen other teachers in other parts of the country that are teaching in person, that are doing, you know, outdoor classrooms, which are a wonderful idea. But I guess my main advice is to keep doing what you're doing until this pandemic ends and you can be in the classroom for students again. That's where the magic happens.
It's an exceptionally challenging time.
Yeah.
So when the floodgates open and we can get out into the world again, you said something about traveling around the world. Where do you think you'll go next?
Well, you know, it's interesting because a year ago right now, my wife and I were supposed to be getting ready to leave for China and Thailand.
Hmm.
Everything started happening. We were going to be taking China Air. They canceled our flight. So we decided to change our plans and go to Italy. Italy was the first major European country hit by the pandemic, so we had to cancel
that.
That's
true. Yeah.
So those are kind of maybe our first adventures we may go on.
Yeah.
My wife just got back, well, it's been 2 years now, from New Zealand, which she loved. She wants to take me there.
Mm.
I was in Iceland, and I want to take her there. So we have a number of trips that we're planning.
And I expect a number of books coming from those trips.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Would not be surprised.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, for giving us a few moments of your time, and get on out back to Lake Michigan here before the snows fly.
Yeah, it's been a joy. I really enjoyed speaking with you.